And now it's time for Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. For the next 2 hours, join Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, Corey Sandin, and this week's special expert guest for fishing information, new techniques to catch more fish, and the most current scoop on what's happening in the water. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Royal Polaris, the world's finest long-range sports fisher. By Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup, and Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best, Shimano. Get ready for the fastest 2 hours on radio with the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock God Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Good morning, anglers, and welcome to Let's Talk Hookup, man. We have a fun show for you today. Captain Brian Kiyohara from the American Angler is going to be joining us. We're going to be talking all kinds of fishing, and we're going old school today, man. We're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to be talking stories of the past, stories of the present, good fishing, and great times. You stay tuned. You're listening to Southern California's Sport Fishing Voice. This is Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Good morning, anglers. This is Bob Cook, captain of the Fat Tuna from the hit Nat Geo television show Wicked Tuna. The tuna are biting in San Diego, and right now, I would like to invite you to come fishing with me on the Liberty for the annual two-day Tuna Wars trip on June 25th and 26th. This trip is a wonderful opportunity to support Friends of Rollo, as all the proceeds raised benefit the Rollo program to take more kids fishing. If you would like to join me on this adventure, please contact Howard at RolloKids.org for more information, or visit RolloKids.org. If you can't make the trip, plan on attending the captain's reception on Sunday, June 23 at Dana Landing, where you can meet me as well as Captain Dave Marciano and Nancy Marciano of the Hard Merchandise. The three of us are looking forward to meeting you and sharing this great evening. See you all soon.
For quality, the Islander out of Fisherman's Landing is a favorite among anglers. But Islander Charters is much more than great fishing. The quality of the captains and crew, as well as the great meals and service, speak for themselves. Comfortable staterooms, a super clean and well taken care of boats, are just a few of the reasons the Islander is so popular. The Islander specializes in 1.5 to 5 day fishing. Experience the Islander difference. Visit IslandersSportFishing.com. The lighter the bite and the cleaner the water means one thing. Need a thinner leader, more natural presentations. That's where Seaguar Gold Label leader material shines. It's Seaguar's thinnest leader material yet. That means it's even less visible underwater and creates more natural presentations for better catch rates on leader-shy fish. With exceptional knot and tinsel strength, this advanced leader material is now available from 2-pound test for fishing trout in the Sierra to 80-pound test for big yellowfin in Guadalupe. Get Seaguar Gold Label at your favorite tackle dealer or learn more at Seaguar.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. And man, what a fun one today is going to be. The stories are already flowing.
That's what we're doing right there. Yeah, before the show started, we, well, Corey, one, stoked to be here with you. You and I are going to have a great time, as we always do. Pete's out of town for a little stretch. He's going to have a really fun one. Pete's going to do a stretch his fly fishing arms out in Montana and taking a very well-deserved break. So Corey and I are going to be hanging out and talking fishing with you this weekend and next weekend and having a great time doing it. But we got to go to a very fun event, and, you know, congratulations to the CCA for putting on a great time, their Apps and Taps event that happened last week. And, you know, and a big part of that Apps and Taps was honoring Captain Frank Lopresti with the Beacon Award, and we had a great time, you know, celebrating a really important guy to the sport fishing industry. Brian gave an absolutely awesome speech, and while we were there, Captain Brian Kiyohara said, you know, hey, I'm coming on the radio show next week. Like, let's keep that ball rolling and let's go old school and talk about some old stories from the boat and all the things that have changed. And this whole week I have been thinking about how excited I was to do this radio show with you, Brian. And man, we're so pumped to have you. And I got to thinking about all the things that have changed just in the time that I've been here, and the gear and the tackle and the boats and the people and the landing, and just thinking about all the things that you've watched, you know, developed and get started and then become plain and then get phased out into the next thing. And I just think I love the idea, and I hope that we get to do it. And man, we're really pumped to have you, buddy. Good morning.
Oh, thank you. You know, I've just been very fortunate to do what I love to do my whole life.
being part of the whole sport fishing fleet for the last 40 years and just when we started, yeah. It was monofilament, anchovies, and just infancy stage. And then fortunate enough to work for Frank on Royal Polaris when there was no regulations. There was no limits back then. Sure. There was no, like, fish where you want to go and fish, whether it be PV or all the Revias. And, you know, it's I'm just look back at that, getting a free dive, Clipperton and Clarion and just... All the things I was able to do.
The Wild West.
And now it's, you know, everything's regulated, both Mexico and California. There's limits on everything. No, you can't do that. You
can't go here.
Yeah, and then the habitat loss, like the loss of kelp up and down the coast and the island.
Oh, you hit me in the heart right there.
You know, it's just, there's been a lot of changes over the years. And, you know, no offense to the sinker riggers and how many hooks you put on a knife jig questions, but it's like there's a lot of sport fishing history and stuff that is lost.
Yeah.
You know, the passing of Steve Loomis and just all these different icons in the industry. Boy, with them, the amount of stories that I've heard from them, it's just...
I was thinking about it on my drive home, you know, that I've always been so, I mean, it's what I do, it's what I chose to do my whole life. Like, I'm so into the fishing tackle part of things, and I got to thinking about, you know, Brian and your career on Royal Polaris, and then on American Angler, and, like, just think about how the tackle has completely changed, you know, from a, back in the day, it was a 5-foot rod, you went to Yo's, and you got measured out to you know, the specific, you know, foregrip and rear grip length based on how long your arms were, because the only way you're going to get leverage is by pulling on that short lever, and that's what the rods became, and then they inched longer so you could cast a bait more, and then they changed again to fit the belt and harness just right, and then the belt and harness went away for the rail. I mean, you've been through all phases of it, the change of rods and reels and line and
dropping the skiffs in the water to fight the fish, dropping another rail in the water.
I mean, yeah, those changes happen a lot of, because when me and Tim first started, there were single speed reels.
Yeah,
there was no 2-speed reels, and you know, there were still guys that were coming out fishing with 6-0s and 9-0s, and then it, you know, to have a fin oar or an international with the lever drag, it's like, wow, you know, now you're cooking with heat.
So how many, yeah, like, when you first started, I mean, it's not like, 1-2-speed wasn't a thing, and it's not like every guy on board had a full rack of international.
Oh, no.
It was like a couple on the boat.
Just a couple. People had maybe 1 or 2 lever drag type reels. And then, you know, after a few years of working on the boat, that's when they came out with 2-speed reels. And they would only make them, Penn only made them in the 50 wide models. And so Yo and Cal Sheets and Ray Lemming back then, they started developing where they could change like a standard 50 to a 2-speed and then a standard 30. And so with the advent of 2-speed reels, it was, that's what changed the equipment, the rods and reels. Because back then, you know, it's old man strength.
Yeah.
These guys that would hang on to these 150, 200-pounders for 3 hours on a 6-0 reel.
Yeah.
It's like the old man strength was unbelievable. But when they came out with 2-speed reels, if you could walk around the block 3 times, you could wind in a 200-pounder. And so that's when... It wasn't cool to put your rod in the rail, but then, you know, as a kid, working on rock god trips at Cherry Bank, where somebody hooks the bottom.
What's the first thing you did?
Weigh 130 pounds. How are you going to break this, you know, this rod off? So we put it on the rail and put our pliers in the spool and maxed out the pressure on it. And so we, on the crew of Royal Polaris, we were the first uncool people because we taught people how to use the rail, and everyone minded in their own fish, because previous to that, somebody would hook a fish, hang on to this 250-pounder for 2 hours, and it'd be a color, and then, you know, they're just so tired, their hair hurts.
Oh, my God, I can't imagine.
And then, you know, Frank or somebody or Randy Toussaint, I make fun of him still this day. His nickname was the Terminator.
Okay.
Because on the 105...
He was the finisher?
Yeah, well, on the 105, when somebody would hang on to these big cows for a long time, and they're tired and don't have any strength, here come the Terminator. And then Randy would come and finish him off at the end, and, you know, they gaffed us, you know, three gaffs, and the thing had the guy the rod back, and it's just like, I would see the... Look on this guy's face. He's defeated. Yeah. He got his ass whooped. And he's tired and couldn't finish off his own fish. Sure. When two-speed reels came out, that changed. You know, we became Lamaze coaches and like, okay, breathe, you know, that type deal.
Just turn the handle.
And turn the handle. And that's when the rod started stretching out longer and not getting involved in the corner and the props and all that. So
one of the things I love so much about the gear part of it, the rod part of it, was Leon from CalStar working so closely with, you know, with guys like you and the boats. And the thing that I love so much about it is, you know, he developed what I still think is the best big fish rods, the CalStar, you know, the 770 series and the 775, those CalStar graphiters. They're the perfect thing. But what I love so much about it is Leon didn't fish at all. Like, he didn't go in the boats, but a guy like Brian or a guy like Frank or a guy like Randy or whoever it would be, like, you know, or the, you know, the fantastic passengers that, you know, were close with Leon would say, hey, it just needs to do this a little more. And he was the best in the world at you know, hearing Brian say, like, no, it needs to not bend here, and it needs to bend a little bit up there, and we need to put it on the rail, and it needs to do this. But he was the best in the world at hearing that direction and knowing how to make his fishing rod do that.
Incredible.
This is where you put more material to get to make that happen, and there it goes. You know, I mean, it was a guy, he didn't fish. He builds the best rods in the world for doing it. I love it.
Yeah, Yo was a big part of that. You know, it was the Saber 655 double XAH, you know, that 5.5-footer that Yo would fit everybody, but... Yo was really good at watching and listening to the crew, because we all used to go in there and hang out at the shop up there in Gardena, and he would ask us, and then, you know, obviously he fished on the boat a lot and two-speed reels, and so him and Leon were real close in developing, because then, God, it would sure be nice to have a 6-footer, then a 6.5-footer, and then, you know, the 770, 775s, like you say, that finally came out years later.
When guys would go into, like, Yo's was a true custom-built rod. And in those days, you know, and this predates me. Like, I am so stoked that my dad took me, you know, when I was a kid, we would go to the Yo's parking lot sale, and we would see the seminars and, you know, and watch Rollo and the crew of the boat talk about, you know, this, that, and the other. And, like, I feel so fortunate to, like, got to be a part of that, even though it was in a time when I was probably younger than it had the impact that it could have. But, like, back then, you couldn't do, you know, a factory rod wasn't up to the task of what, you know, Brian and the boys were wanting it to do. And, like, they didn't have the guides that were right, and they weren't triple wrapped, and their grips weren't the right length. Like, the blanks were good, but you know, if you wanted it to be up to task, it had to be custom built. You know, nowadays, a lot of custom rods are, they're just because you want them in the same color as your other ones. You know, the factory options are every bit the same quality, but then it wasn't. Like, Yo would, you know, or another custom rod shops that were of that caliber, but Yo's in particular, like, they had a formula, and if you're, you know, if your arms and, you know, if your arms and height are this length, we're going to put you into a belt and harness, and we're going to measure things out, and we're going to move the reel up or down so we can maximize the leverage. And, you know, that was in the era of true custom rod building.
That's amazing. How long has it been since Yo's shut down? It's been 15, 18?
Yeah, longer than
not
that.
Not 20, I don't think.
It's been a while.
I don't know, maybe somebody can call
since
in.
Since Yo passed. Yeah.
But I mean, the shop was, I think, 18 years ago or so. And I remember in that area, too, I miss Art's Tackle, Perfields.
Yeah.
Dick at Perfields.
The bent rod.
Yeah.
Long fin, Bob's. There was like...
Man, going back to the...
Yeah, there was only like about a dozen tackle shops in Southern California, and you would recognize the wrap from each one.
Sure.
You know, it's like, oh, that guy lives... You could tell where they knew
which neighborhood
lived.
Was.
Yeah, because just by who wrapped their rods.
That's really cool. And, you know, a lot of fun with... you know, back in those days too, it was just the mindset was so much different too. You had alluded to it. You went where you went, and the measure of success was the pile of fish at the end of it. And I remember being in the old building,
and not just fish, but frozen popsicles.
That was ridiculous. That's one of the biggest changes for the good.
Like amazing. I didn't mean to step on you, Rick, but it brought back memories of the frozen curved half moon popsicle wahoo,
When they came out with limits, when Mexico came out with limits, it's the best thing. It changed for sport fishing.
Yeah.
Instead of sitting somewhere and catching 900 15-pound yellowtail that we used to do all the time, we would pull the anchor and move and look for more quality fish.
Yeah, so you get big ones.
It changed the game. You know, it became more quality than quantity. Because I remember a day at San Pablo, we started off the morning on the 10s. We had 550 yellows in the morning. Yeah, that's a good morning.
It's a good start.
Yeah, we went offshore and there's porpoise and we catch 280, school-sized yellowfin tuna. Oh, that's good. And then we hit a kelp where we catch 600 Dorado on a kelp, and it's like, I was thinking about how many staples we used. It's like we tagged over 1,000 fish that day.
Unreal.
Unreal. Yeah, it's like, okay, that was a good, Frank, that was a good day. Well, we'll do it again and start out at 10 o'clock in the morning. That's just the way it was.
Yeah.
But nowadays with the limits and RSW, like you were saying, no more frozen popsicles. Instead of doing that, we would like, okay, that's good enough. You guys would pull it while they're biting still. It's like, oh, okay. And you would be on the hunt for more quality fish and go to the rocks because the grade's better. But, it just opened up sport fishing.
And changed it for the better, like you're saying.
Oh, for the better.
Like the RSW quality that comes in.
Oh, for the better.
I've mentioned it. This will be the third time in the last month I've mentioned this. I was in a local fish market, fresh yellowfin, $43 a pound. And I keep mentioning it because, we're sport fishermen. We can't put a commercial value, right? But
we can sure enjoy a nice chunk of fresh bluefin.
I'm getting at, right?
Spoiled.
Yeah, like completely spoiled.
Spoiled.
And I'm part of the spoil.
Yeah, totally spoiled.
You count me in on that one.
I think another one of the best things that happened to the enjoying like your catch was the canning part of it going away. And like that was a big thing I remember too. Is it didn't matter. Somebody didn't feel the gluttonous part of it just because, if the pile was 3 tuna or it was 35 tunas, oh, no big deal, I'll just trade them in for cans. And then all of a sudden it just became a thing, and you'd drag those big frozen things over and throw them into a dock cart. Like, okay, you got 14 cases of canned tuna. And that went away, it became a thing. Like, all right, well, you need to, now it's a thing that you're going to have to decide what you want to do with this. And now you've got a lot more fish to go home and cut, or you've got a much bigger bill at the processor or whatever maybe, and even that got way better. You can still get killer canned fish, from your processor, but again, it's not a low grade thing anymore. If you want it, you're getting a quality gourmet, deal if you buy something from one of the processors.
Oh, there's way more to do with it before it hits the can, right?
Totally.
I mean, even a frozen piece of bluefin, a nice 2-pound chunk in the 5-mil bag, 6-8 months, I mean, I hate to say it, even a year later, is still like 85% quality. It's not 100%, but it's...
There's more and more sport fishing operations that are figuring it out.
Totally.
That it's not how many or how big or anything like that. It's the whole experience. I wish everyone in the fleet could wake up and figure out it's not limits, and it's the experience that people have on the ocean and the experience that you provide for them. It's I think Booger was the first that I knew of that stopped doing jackpot.
Right.
And
is awesome.
We followed suit, and it's made the environment nicer.
Totally.
Friendly.
On the boat.
Friendly.
Yeah, it's not like, because we're all alpha personalities, we're all competitive. It's like, oh man, Corey got a good one, So, that type deal, but without the whole jackpot and, because the money doesn't matter. Everyone gives it to the crew anyways, but it's still the whole...
Dude, it was the last part of the trip, the very, very last thing, no matter how successful the trip was. it left one guy feeling a little bit better, and it left the other people on contention with just the teeny sort of, oh, man, I wish mine was bigger. Oh, man.
Yeah.
And you had this awesome day the whole day, and you sacked up however many fish, and you let everybody fish go, and you made a great cast because you saw a turn dip, and you fired your jig out there, and you caught a yellowtail. And like, it was all these great things, but the last part of the day was, well, that yellowtail was a pound less than Corey's, and it's like, oh, man. But, oh, man, should never be how you leave.
Yeah. No, but that competitiveness between the jackpot guys, right? It takes that competitiveness and it takes it as a group, the 28 on the boat, and now it's the 28 against the fish. Like, you're working together more. It's more of a cohesive atmosphere, right?
It creates the third level fisherman. There's three levels of fishermen that we see. It's the beginner that comes out, the novice, and you can see it's like intimidation, and they catch a fish. Wow, you could see the spark. Next thing you know, they're going to be at Rick in the tackle shop buying gear. Second level is the guy who becomes comfortable on the boat, can cast a little bit, you know, and has enough experience. Like, when they're buying fly line, you get a bait out away from the boat, put in gear, you got one. And then there's the third level of the guy that's been there, done that, and doesn't no longer need to catch every fish that swims, but is there to help all the novices and, you know, hook in hand and pass them off. And Ken Corwin's, he's fantastic at it.
How cool.
When I first met Ken, he was the most competitive. How many did you get out of that stop? And now he gets it. He makes sure everyone on the boat has a fish and is enjoying themselves. And maybe he'll wind one in. Maybe he won't. But it's the third-level fisherman that I think that people... It's the pinnacle.
That's cool.
How cool is that?
That's really cool. We're going to have a great time today, Corey. There's so much fun stuff to cover, but today is just a great day about talking fun and celebrating the thing that we all love doing, and we're going to continue with a bunch of great stories. And more importantly, let's talk hookups for you. You know, it's all about our callers and our friends, and, man, we just want you to add to it and have a great time with us today.
And add to it, give us a call, send us a text, whatever way you want to do it. Give us a shout at 213-432-1090. That's the way to do it on the line. One open line right now, stacking up right there. And then we've got text to show, which you can only do via the app. Rick's scrolling through them right now. Yeah, it looks like there's probably 50 of them already. But you can do that, like I said, only through the app. Make sure you do leave your name and telephone number, because at the end of the show, we're going to have Brian flip the coin. We're giving away, super cool, you mentioned it, Booger on the San Diego. We're giving away a full day trip with him or Matt fishing out of C4 Sport Fishing on the San Diego. So a full-day trip right there to one lucky caller or one lucky texter when we return with Brian Kiyohara telling some good stories here on Let's Talk Hookup app, the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hey, this is Captain Benny Florentino, owner-operator of Coastal Charters. Just want to announce that I'll be running the Camus 26 hybrid boat from West Coast Marine in Costa Mesa. Hybrid being a center console with bay boat features. The boat features a Michael Peters stepped hull that'll give both myself and my guests a comfortable dry ride. West Coast Marine in Costa Mesa will be carrying the 26 hybrid, 28 hybrid, and also a 34 cat. Heck, they even have some great looking bass boats. But if you have any other questions, feel free to call Nick Kelly or Kyle Mesa at West Coast Marine in Costa Mesa, and we'll see you on the water.
Take it from Captain Benny Florentino. West Coast Marine in Costa Mesa is your source for Camus boats as well as Parker boats, Yamaha outboards, and now Mercury outboards. Sales and service, the finest you can find. Go see Nick and the guys at West Coast Marine on Newport Boulevard in Costa Mesa, or check westcoastmarine.com.
It's time to go fishing. Hi, this is Doug Kern from Fisherman's Landing Tackle, the saltwater tackle professionals. The perfect rod to handle the toughest fish is Shimano Terramar. The secret? TC4 blank construction with Tech Tape outer wrap to shield the fibers from the impact damage. Make sure to match your Shimano Terramar rod with a Shimano Tranx 500. X-Ship and HEG technologies combine to provide the Shimano Tranx massive cranking power with a smooth and effortless retrieve. For all your Shimano needs, visit us at Fisherman's Landing Tackle at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
Hey, this is Rosie with Cedro Sport Fishing. We have always been the leader with all-inclusive fishing trips to Cedro Island. We now have two lodges to choose from and both sit on the cliff set with relaxing ocean views and gorgeous morning sunrises. With direct flights departing to the CBS in San Diego, Diego, we are committed to providing first-class service to our guests and an unforgettable fishing experience. Come check out the yellowtail and calico bass capital in the world. Nobody does it better than Cedros Fork Fishing. Call me at 619-772-7570 or check us out at cedrosforkfishing.com. Book soon. Trips are going fast.
For your next fishing adventure, check Point Loma Sport Fishing. They offer half-day trips on the Daily Double and full-day trips on the Mission Bell every day. Perfect for novice or seasoned fishermen. Point Loma Sport Fishing also offers overnight to multi-day trips on the American Angler, Vagabond, Intrepid, Independence, ULoan, T-Bird, Game Changer, and more. Visit PointLomaSportFishing.com where you can purchase tickets online. Want to go fishing? Point Loma Sport Fishing has you covered.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hook. You almost did it, Rick.
Yeah,
you almost
close.
Did it, right? But it's all good. I know. Good job, good job. Hey, welcome back, and appreciate everyone joining us today and having Brian Kihara from the American Angler in studio telling just great stories and over four decades, huh, Brian?
Yeah, started in high school.
It's awesome.
That's pretty cool. But if you want to join us, 213-432-1090, or you can text us via the app. Make sure you leave your name and telephone number, because at the end of the show, we're giving away a full-day trip on the San Diego at Seaforth.
What was the first sport boat that you worked on, Brian? Where did everything start?
Mustang and New Hester, too.
That's cool.
22nd Street Landing, yeah.
And did you go from there to San Diego, or did you start your career up there and stay there for a while? Like, when did you come down to San Diego and...
They were charter boats. We were migrant charter boats. So in the summertime, we'd come down and fish 90 days in the summertime.
I remember that era. Well, shortly after, probably. But I remember being on the bait receivers in the 80s. And I've told this one to Rick, and it blew his mind. Like, we would count the number of overnight boats. They would come out. We'd see them from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. up to 75 or 80 overnight boats.
Crazy.
We all had our own receiver.
Yes, yes.
And
everybody cultivated their own.
That was your box.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And so, like, we would be out there with hammers and nails. We would hammer and nail the lids shut so no one else
would get into your box.
Oh, they would get into it. The other one was a cable back and forth.
Then the long range boats would come in with their hammers, and they'd open up all our lids, and then we'd show up that night, and there'd be no bait in our box.
No,
seriously.
Yeah. Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then you go to Castales, and then Corey would tell you, no, it's a three-scoop ration, and you'd have 30 people on the boat.
Yeah.
You get three scoops of live bait. It's
so
just like,
with all those problems, Rick, it went to, all right, okay, we're going to do away with the individual boxes.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
This is awesome.
It was cutthroat.
This is awesome.
Oh, it was pirate. There were pirates.
Right?
But they did away with the individual boxes and just said, you know, as you come out, we're going to point you toward what's available for the overnight, and then what's for the long range. Like, we'd save a whole section, like the outer, you know, south section, all for long range.
Yeah.
And then the next month it might be, you know, the north end. But
the job that Buck and Joey and all the guys do nowadays, it's you know, we all take it for granted, because myself and Corey, we saw the cutthroat days and.
Yeah.
You know,
the days without bait.
Yeah.
I mean, there were, when I started there in the 80s, there was a 6-month period where we ran to Dana Point, between Dana Point and Newport.
For anchovy.
Listen, Rick, it was for 6 months. It was literally, listen, this is so crazy. For 6 months, it's a 22-hour minimal round trip.
Yeah.
If we left the dock and got up there and wrapped right away, came home and unloaded, it was 22 hours. And how often could you, like, go and just instantly make a set? Like, a lot of times it was...
Sure, that was best case scenario.
A lot of times it was unload, Bucks at the receiver with our groceries, and we would literally head back up north for 6 months.
Wild.
Yeah, but that was part of that era.
That was part of it. Yeah. And then when I started on the Royal, it's like we spent more time with the Sabiki than we did actually fishing.
Wow.
It's because as soon as you would leave the point, you were looking in IV, at the kelp and IV, and looking for sign, and it was more important to catch mackerel, because all we had was anchovies,
right.
And it was... You know, we
virtually didn't have hook bait when you left.
We spent way more time fishing fishing mackerel than we actually did fishing yellowtail and bluefin and all that. And it's, you know, in that era, too, it's like it's what separated Bob Williams in the San Diego versus Nick Keats on the ULoan.
Nick had time to catch mackerel at nighttime. Right. So anchoring Pukey Point when the yellows show, it's like now you're getting your shots at yellows.
You got the bullets to fire.
But like if Bob would bring the San Diego to the islands with all he catches bonita with his anchovy, so he didn't go. So it's what separated the men from the boys. And when the advent of sardines, it's everyone's equal.
Okay.
And then that's how, you know, Booger went on to dominate the islands. And, you know, pretty much nobody fishes overnight. There are very few. It's the whole.
So do you guys make bait much at all anymore, like sabiki?
Very rare. I mean, rarely. We do. Yeah. We do in different situations, you know, like going to Hurricane Bank or something. You'll stop at the rocks and catch mackerel.
Yeah.
But more often than not, with sardines, it's like we're catching 300-pound yellowfin, big bluefin. I mean,
you're doing it for the choice of having another type of bait, not for the necessity.
Yeah, not the necessity. You know, we could still go somewhere on the coast and whale on the yellows with sardines. Whereas before, you know, you start brailing anchovies and there's scad mackerel on the corner and bonita, and you can't get through it.
Crazy. And so, such good stories.
Would you guys ever? I mean, obviously, a greenie, I'm sure, was what you were after. But were there other things that you would get or need, or like how would the, you know? And when you're leaving for a longer trip and you only have a tank of chovies, would there be trips where you couldn't catch greenies because they weren't around? And what were the other baits that you guys would use?
Spanish. Okay. Yeah, everything. And I know Paul Strausser and Paisano. They're hopefully going to listen to the show, but. As kids growing up in Pedro, they would make bait inside the harbor. You know, they would light up their skiffs, and, you know, they would set the lights on the skiffs, and we would catch 4-inch anchovy or anchovies that you could see through.
Okay.
That was your bait. But in with it was short barracuda, tomcod, queenfish, pompano.
Yeah.
So we, you know, as a kid, you learned how to fish with all of that.
Sure.
You know, catching yellowtail on smelt and all of that. It was just, there was no big bait and stuff.
You mentioned making bait and a light skiff and the whole thing. I have a quick, funny story. I know it's not about me, but I have to tell it. When I started, Rick, they put me in the light skiff, Joe Machado. Okay, Joe Machado, you turn on all the lights, the bait comes to the boat. Well, what do? You got to put a light skiff out to keep the light on it with a generator. So you can wrap the bait with the big boat, right?
Yeah.
So they put me in the water with, you know, no outboard with, you know, oars. I'm rowing, trying to keep in line with the wind, stern of the wind, you know, just keeping it right there. And they make a circle around me, and they keep looking, and he told me with the loudspeaker, hey, we're going to go look down the line a little bit. I didn't see him for 4 hours, man. The light came up, and oh, my God, the stories. Yeah, just being 8 miles off the beach.
And he didn't tell you. He screamed at you.
It was a top of his lungs.
Yeah, he didn't tell you. He screamed.
But I do have to say, that gentleman, Joe, taught me so much about the ocean. And I learned so much in those days, as I'm sure a lot of people from you, Brian, have learned.
I want to say another thing, too. He sure loved fishing long range with you, too.
Yeah, he did.
I got to know Joe at the end of his career, and I got to be the guy to help him with his fishing stuff. And, man, he sure liked fishing with you and your crew and your boys on that American Angler. That was a...
It was such a... he was such a nut. Him and I together, if we worked 5 months straight and we had the chance at a day off, it was hopping on the Queen. It started with Eddie McEwen. But then Brian and Sam, we would jump on the boat. Like, that was our one day off.
Right. Working every day for months straight, and then you got one opportunity. Oh, we'll just go fishing with the boys.
That's exactly
it. I love it.
They didn't even have a temperature gauge on the boat, if you could believe that.
Never. No. But we were some of the first with sonar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was most of the bait catching then just with eyeball, or is it just with an up-and-down meter? I mean, how was...
It was up and down, but your eyeball was the whole thing, you know? And you could tell by a pelican dive. It's the same thing today. You can tell by a pelican dive what they're diving on.
They're lights out. Blackout, and with the spotlight, they would see what slips underneath their handheld spotlight. Oh no, that anchovy's too small. Yeah.
But the height of a pelican dive, like the higher it is, the deeper the bait is. But typically, it's sardine. So those little low line, 20 feet off the water flops are usually chovy.
Okay.
And the closer to the water they are, usually the smaller the chovy.
That's cool.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of
That's crazy. Awesome.
We could go deep.
No, well, we're going to. The phones are packed up. Everybody's excited to talk to Brian. Same with the text. Why don't we jump into it, Corey?
Yeah, let's do it. How about Mike? Mike Calm from Torrance. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning, wonderful people. How you doing?
Great, good morning.
I want to say that I remember Brian as a young man when he first purchased the Pacific Queen from Eddie, and him and Sam would take us out, and we'd go yellowtail fishing the Coronados, and we'd go albacore fishing, and then they'd go up to Morro Bay, and we'd go albacore fishing up there, and what a wonderful deal it was. We were so fortunate, and now I'm able to afford a little bit more, so I'm going on the American Angler for a 3-day tomorrow, and I'm looking forward to it. And funny how you have to book a year ahead now to get on the schedule, but looking forward to fishing on your boat tomorrow, Brian. And can you tell us a story or two about Eddie McEwen in his heyday and how far he'd run to go get the fish?
Oh, Eddie was the king of bluefin. He was the king of bluefin. Oh, yeah. And a lot of times, especially in Eddie's later years, he was the king of bluefin because he would get on a spot and they'd be sticking with the boat but not really biting. And, you know, he fished until his late 70s. So, you know, a guy might have to take a nap from time to time. So you say, Scooter, you know, I'm going to just lay down for an hour. And, you know, more often than not, he'd get up an hour later and they'd have 4 or 5 going. And they're busy just by being patient and waiting them out. And, you know, Ed was the innovator. You know, the boat was built in 1944. In Hawaii, aviation rescue, so they were riveting up the planes full speed, you know, all the wives and kids and whoever was, and they didn't test fly them, so they would a lot of times go straight up in the air and go straight in the water. And so those boats were built to go 25 knots around the Hawaiian Islands, just looking for down, you know, aircraft and saving them out of the water. So after the war, the boat sat in Honolulu, just not used. Ed went over in 1961 with Pop Levitt, this marine magician, and they put 671s in there, loaded up the deck with drums of diesel, with an AM radio, and a course towards San Pedro. They took off two of them. At nighttime, they would get on top of the wheelhouse with their transistor radio. They would look for 64 KFI, like point it towards LA, kind of make some static. They had another AM station up in San Francisco, kind of make some static. And they would triangulate.
Get out of here.
You have to be kidding me.
Get out of here.
My jaw is literally on the table here.
And adjust their course. And their first point of land was San Nicolas Island. That's how good they were.
From Hawaii.
And they built the Pacific Queen.
Do you know what year that was?
1961.
Wow.
And it was a naval vessel.
Brian, this is incredible. Yeah, I've never heard that story ever.
So they did it, and when the Pacific Queen was done in 62 or 63, it's the same Pacific Queen that is still in operation today.
The same fishy boat.
And so for those of you guys that fish on the Queen, it has crown side to side, but also crown on the deck fore and aft. So it made the structure so beefy and powerful. If you go down to that bow bunk room today, it's crazy how it's just overhead with no support. You know, to hold the deck up. It's just the craftsmanship was unbelievable.
That's cool.
Then he would tell stories about him from Long Beach racing Dick Algren from Oceanside to Cortez Bank. You know, fuel was 5 cents a gallon, so, you know, they'd go 12 knots. Yeah, and so they were doing overnight trips to Cortez Bank.
Wow.
You know, kicking the poop out of sea bass and yellows and stuff like that. But those were Ed's favorite stories, was, you know, Cortez Bank, black sea bass.
What story?
That's awesome.
Right?
That's really cool.
Oh, crazy. Hey, we've got our Baja Report on the line, and it's brought to us by Kamikatsu. And if you like to fish for tuna and you're not using Kamikatsu hooks, you're missing bites. A Nautilus Circle hook comes in sizes as small as a number 4 and up to a 6-aught. And for big fish, a Nautilus HD is tough enough, but not oversized. Both come with a ring or no ring. See your local dealer or check Kamikatsu.com. And we've got him on the line from Smokey's Curing Company in Catina. Chris, good morning.
What's up, Chris? Good morning.
Ricky, Corey, buenos dias. How we doing, guys?
We're doing excellent, man. Great to hear from you. And, boy, the season's really getting underway. How's the fishing in the East Cape?
Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. What a week, what a week. Last week's spoke, I had told you guys, I said, hey, the tuna aren't here yet. They're about a week, 10 days late. Man, Sunday they hit, and I remember texting Pedro on his trip to Montana. I said, I told you. Anyway, you know, 40, 50 miles out, but they're there. And then Monday it just went off. I mean, limits, everybody caught limits that wanted them. And since then, you know, they're still out there, you know, 40, 50 miles, and people having to go get them. But, I mean, they're there, and that's the good news. I mean, that's how we make the churros down here, man, the tuna. So, been a great week of fishing for tuna. And then, down at Gordo, we had a report of like a 217 and I think a 197. Not wide open by any means, but hey, you know what? It's Mejor que nada. But it's been a great week there. Marlin fishing's been going off as well. Literally, you know, if you want to catch a marlin, you can. And that's, you know, just straight out. And one really hot marlin area this past week was down south again, you know, right there off Cabo Polo on those flyways, anywhere from 2 to 8 miles out. And so guys are having a lot of fun catching those marlin. And Dorado, yeah, man, we're still catching those Dorado. Nice numbers coming in again. Just head right down there to Punta Arena there at the lighthouse and around the bend there at the little bay there. And we're getting some Dorado there as well. Pompano. We got a few wahoo in right there. Also, just right there at Punta Arena and a little bit towards Los Burros right there at the old Punta Colorado, right there at Cerritos. Got a few wahoo there. And rooster fishing right there too at again Punta Arena and right in front of the marina right there in La Ribera has been really good for the roosters, as well as even just right out front of Palmas. I mean, in the afternoons the guys come in, you know, they're throwing their bait, and sometimes just right out there at the boat line it can be real productive fishing as well right there at Palmas de Cortez. But all in all, guys, it's been a great week. We got plenty of sardinas, ballyhoo. Guys are having we got hidalitos and green jacks. Water temp is, you know, 80, 81 degrees right now. It's a gorgeous day. I'm sitting out here having coffee on my patio in Rancho Leonero. It's flat calm. Oh. Got a little cloud cover. And, I mean, it's definitely heating up. It's just been an exciting week, and I think it's only going to get better.
Chris, you called it. It's biting fish, and it's beautiful weather. And you said exactly that last week, that we were on the verge of things breaking loose. And, boy, it sure sounds like they did. And how's things at Smokies? You guys staying busy?
Oh, yeah, we're busy. You know, and you know, the town, this time of year, the town kind of thins out of the locals. They kind of go back to where they're from. But at night, it's hopping because all the fishermen are coming in. But I wanted to just, speaking of that, I wanted to just take a moment to talk about our fish processing services. I just wanted to give you a little lowdown on that. So you offer the fresh pass, obviously. And what we'll do there is we'll manicure your fish, take out all the blood lines and everything, and we'll do a little all-natural sanitizing and a little sea salt ice slush. So we'll sanitize your fish. I heard you guys talking earlier about the 5-mil bags. We, of course, use those. Always, you know, I think the standard of the industry used to be the 3-mil, but the 5-mil pretty much everybody's using. And we'll backfill it in the 5-mil bags and the flash freezing. So they're not really, I mean, that makes a huge difference for the quality for, you know, for a long time. And then we also obviously offer the smoking service. Again, all natural, no artificial preservatives. So what we'll do is we'll brine it, and we use sea salt and brown sugar in a nice brine. And we'll stir that up for, you know, about 30 minutes till the salt and the sugar dissolves. And then we'll take about a quart of boiling water and put honey in it and dissolve that. And then we'll add that in. And that just kind of adds just a nice little, you know, a nice little the color and a little bit of texture. And so we'll brine it and we'll put it on our oven racks overnight. And we'll smoke it the next day. We use all natural wood. No liquid smoke or anything. And we do a mix of, sugar maple and hickory. It's about 75% sugar maple and 25% hickory. And that hickory adds a nice little bite. You don't want to overpower the fish with your wood, but it adds a nice little bite and also some nice color. So And then we smoked that. It's about 4.5 hours. But anyway, yeah, that's what we do. And
making me hungry, man.
You know. And Chris, you got to add the one last thing is the ridiculous convenience that you provide for everybody. You are at the hotel. You are at every major location that you can fish in the East Cape. You and your team are there to receive the fish. I mean, there's nothing to it. You're literally greeted when you come back from fishing, and if you'd like the fish to be processed and backpacked and that beautiful smoke that you guys do, but, I mean, you just step off the boat. Here's your order, and then you're ready with the fish at whatever hotel anybody's staying at when it's time to leave. You went to Palmas. As soon as you come back, the fish are taken away immediately, and then you have them all packed up ready for people to go on their departure day.
We do try to make it easy, yeah. We take the guesswork out of it, and we got every day's catching. And guys sometimes get off the docks, and they're like, hey, man, you know, we want to come in for dinner, so we'll prepare the fish at Smokies. You know, I think it's like 7 different ways, so they'll make reservations, and then we'll cook part of their catch for them or whatever. But yeah, we got everything. We got the fish boxes on the knees. I mean, it's pretty easy. We make it easy on you. So, and you know, it's hard to believe, guys. I was thinking about this the other day. We've been dealing with this since 1995. We're going on 30 years. That's crazy.
That's awesome.
I mean, when I think about it. Well, 30 years.
People don't last long if they don't do it.
They have it down.
That's it. Well, people don't last long if they're not doing it the right way, and you guys certainly are, Chris. Well, we appreciate a great report. We appreciate everything you do for us here, and we'll look forward to hearing another great report next week.
All right, guys. This week's East Cape Fish Report brought to you by Smokey's Cure Company Cantina.
There it is.
Appreciate it, buddy. Thanks, Chris.
Take care, guys.
All right.
Rick, what an awesome addition to the show.
Totally.
Man. Yeah. I love hearing it. Hey, you stay tuned. You're listening to Southern California Sport Fishing Voice. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio and that Let's Talk Hookup app.
Back in 1979, my parents started Fast Lane Sailing Center. They lived in a VW van in the parking lot and sold catamaran sailboats. And over the years, the shop has evolved. They've sold everything from windsurfers to barbecues, paddleboards, and trailers. Here's the point. For over 40 years, my parents, and eventually me, my brother Jared, and sister Ava, have been in the business of fun and making memories on the water with friends and family. If something's in the shop, it's a product we use, are passionate, and knowledgeable about, and want to share with you. We encourage you to come down to our shop, Fast Lane Kayaking on Mission Bay, and check out our huge selection of Hobie Mirage kayaks, accessories, and more. And let's get you on the water, fishing with friends, enjoying the coast with your family, or exploring mountain lakes in solitude. In other words, having fun and making memories.
Gas prices are going up, up, up. So now more than ever, you need Summit Gasoline at the San Diego Sports Arena. Pull up to the newly expanded Summit Gasoline and get low, low gas and diesel prices for your car, truck, and boat. They can now accommodate 24 cars and trucks to fuel at the same time, plus 12 diesel boats, plus 100 pounds of free ice with a minimum 35-gallon fill-up. Easy in and out, too. Step into the Summit Bistro and enjoy what Martha and her crew have for you on things you can use. Fresh-made burritos, sandwiches, salads, along with beer, beverages, and, of course, always free ice. So many Let's Talk Hookup listeners have taken advantage of Summit Gasoline's low prices, great service, and free ice. They have become the largest seller of fresh gourmet ice in Southern California. Summit also sells frozen bait and fishing licenses 24 hours a day. Summit Gasoline, low prices, friendly staff, free ice, and easy in and out with your boat and trailer at the San Diego Sports Arena.
Hey, San Diego. Sell-a-thon means big savings, great selection, and only 5 days to save. Visit your San Diego County Ford dealers now through Memorial Day and get great offers on the most popular Ford trucks and SUVs. It's the Ford Memorial Day Sell-a-thon, and that means now is the best time to get behind the wheel of your brand new Ford and drive it home today. But hurry, these offers absolutely end May 28th. Visit your San Diego County Ford dealer today. They'll be glad to hook you up.
Great fishing is what Seaforth Sports Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, Elgato Doe, Pride, Polaris Supreme, Tribute, Pacifica, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth Sea Watch in San Diego offer the finest half and full day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing. For charters or schedule, check SeaforthLanding.com. Run by fishermen, for fishermen in Mission Bay.
Filet knives shouldn't be disposable. Introducing APCO filet knives that are built to last. Designed in collaboration with Boker Germany, APCO knives feature 4116 German stainless steel bonded with titanium nitride to ensure optimum corrosion resistance and exceptional edge retention. A non-slip TPR handle maintains a firm grip when processing game fish. Premium in every sense, APCO filet knives are available in multiple length options to provide the right tool that gets the job done season after season. Filet knives from APCO. Any fish, any water.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Cook. That's what the show is really about today, man. Telling great stories and just incredible stuff. And
I want to hear that. So during the break, you were talking about just all the fun you'd had. Our previous caller talking about Eddie McEwen and just all the great times you had. And you told us about a particular trip that, you know, was after you guys had the boat, but Eddie's came fishing with you, and you guys were catching yellowfin. And run us down that memory lane.
Yeah, we were on this kelp, and we were catching small tuna, yellowfin, like 15 pounders, and he goes, "Geez, and Mary and Joseph, what's going on?" And he goes, "There's these big tuna trying to eat these little tuna." And we looked over the side, and this 60, 80 pound big eye. And next thing you know, they took over, and you know, we're all bent over on. Everyone's got one on, and we don't land very much. The tackle was not very good. It was our big year that trip was the Jigmaster with 40 pound rent rods.
I mean, think about that.
Crazy. Yeah.
And then so we went on this. It was September of 99, and we went on for the next couple weeks. There's these big eye kelps around, and if you found the right kelp, these 60, 80 pounders would come out from under the kelp
and just wreck you.
And just wreck us. Like, everyone's got one on their big gear, you know, 60 pound and Master Mariner or a 6-0 with 80 pound. And Roy Rose's dad was our second, Chippehoy. And
Chippehoy Roy.
He had a hand line, and he got 18 of these things in a row.
18?
On the hand line?
On the hand line.
Oh.
The kids were getting a gaff and, like, nose hooking three or four sardines on the gaff and then dangling the hook in the water. And these things would come out from underneath the boat and eat the gaff.
Oh, my
crazy.
God.
You know, the testosterone.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
Kids.
So was that Big Eye era, was that involved with albacore? At that,
when we had the queen, it was more involved with yellowfin tuna kelps. But, you know, when I worked on the New Hustler and boats like that, albacore, it was, Alan Fay was the king at coming home at midnight because he would always get these blind jig strikes outside North Island that would turn into a straight big eye. And,
wow.
And I remember one time on the Hustler, we got into this big eye stop, and they were all buck 25s to 200 pounders, and they were just free swimming everywhere, but everybody had one on. And we had all a bunch of these old Japanese men, and everyone had 6-0s and Master Mariners, and everyone was to the knot.
Come on.
You know, just took it all. To the knot. You know, with 80-pound mono, you know, that's what they would troll with.
Sure.
We were in this stop all day, and I think we landed 7 of them.
From an all-day stop.
Yeah, and it's you know, there are real parts laying all around the deck and stuff. I just look back to, if we had the tackle that, you just would have murdered them.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Do you think we'll see a big eye era? I mean,
I don't know.
It's hard to predict. I mean, obviously, but.
I don't know. All they do is if they come around, somebody should have a handline in their tackle box.
Yeah, right. So.
During that same time, John Klein was running a yacht called the Big Mike. And I remember they were coming up the coast near above Cedrus. And he got in one of those stops where they were all buck 50 to 200 pounders. And he made a hand line out of his tie-up line.
Come on.
And just ask John when you see him on the sidewalk and just murdered those things.
Wow.
It was just...
What crazy stories.
Well, I've always heard the stories of, you know, from you and Sam, and they've said that when Big Eye go wide open, they do it more than it, they're the most voracious.
Suicide.
The most wide open they could possibly be.
And you know, they're like a skipjack, too. It's like where they don't... They're like a yellowfin tuna on the hand line would rip the arm out of it. You know, it'd rip your arm out of the socket. But those big eye, for some reason, they just want to die. Even coming out from the corner, going the opposite way, you're like, oh boy, this isn't going to be pretty. It comes tight, and they just turn around, shaking their head, and you gaff them.
Wow.
Incredible. Man.
That's cool.
These stories are incredible.
Yeah, we're having a lot of fun, no doubt. Well, hey, speaking of a lot of fun, I know there's some great fishing going on. We're going to go live aboard the Tribute right now. We got Captain Mike Pritchard on the line. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Good morning, Brian.
Buddy.
Yeah, I remember that 99 Big Eye series. It was extraordinary. We had a trip coming in on the Producer. We had four yellowtail on the boat and got a quad jig strike on our way home, I think, just inside the 425. And I think Ray had, I don't even remember. You remember Ray Sovia had all 150 pounds of them, had probably 15 on the lift pole. And I got four or five free gap before the trollfish got in. It was unreal.
I remember Ray stopping me on the bait receiver, and he goes, Brian, Sam, I got this kid over here. He's the next John Grabowski. And I turn around, and it's Muddy. Yeah, and Muddy's like 20 years old or 19 years old. I go, this kid right here? Now look at him all these years later.
Yeah.
Giant tribute boat owner.
Right?
Yeah. That was some fun fishing. And, yeah, I didn't know anything about the ham line. I just knew that I thought Ray was going to get pulled over the side at any given time by one of those 60-pounders. And I think he had about half the ones on the boat. It was pretty unreal. But,
well, I think I have to say, Mike, you're being generous by giving him 150. I think he might have been more like 125, man. Come on.
Well, that was if he had a bag of candy and a cigarette in it.
Yeah.
he had the cigarette.
Oh, good stuff, Mike.
Well, I'd love to see some of that Big Eye fishing again. I've seen it a handful of times, and it's something that you can't explain to somebody. They look like they're trying to climb over each other in the corner, the easiest thing you'll ever free gap.
Yeah.
That's right. So we're out here anchored up, fishing bluefin. We got one bluefin here for the morning. Setting off a two-day charter master Alex Miranda picked up one this morning, about a 25-pounder, 22-pounder, something like that. And we're out tomorrow night. I know we did a little something for Mother's Day for our mom, so we're going to offer a little deal on our for Memorial Day here. Open party tomorrow night. The trip's a for sure go. It's pretty light load right now, but if you bring a military member, active or inactive, as long as they have an ID, they're half off. So, I would love to bring them out for free, but somehow they don't give us free bait and fuel. But anything we could do to kind of pay back a little bit would be awesome. We love our service members, and we'd hope to see someone tomorrow night.
You better be careful the way you said that, though, because somebody coming down without a reservation, you might have 60 people showing up.
Well, so same thing we did for Mother's Day, and we got a handful of moms to come out on the boat that may or may not have come before, so you have to call in the landing and let them know. You got to book a spot, and then you're accompanied a military member is half off, so you just got to make sure you and either that or, yeah, we might have 30 people down here tomorrow.
That's an awesome idea.
I'll stock up on extra beer.
Oh, super cool, man. Always give them back for sure, Mike.
Well, glad to hear
I love it.
And glad to hear that you guys are on some fish, and hopefully they continue to build and make a great day. So one more time, that's going to be for Monday night departure.
Sunday night, tomorrow night.
So tomorrow night, if you want to go book a spot on the Tribute, and either an active or retired, but anybody with a military ID is going fishing with you for half price.
Yep, with the full price ticket. I'm sitting next to about 100 yards from Brian's boat. It's looking pretty good.
Hopefully there's a Ben Rod or two.
Yeah.
So 619-224-3383, Seaport Landing. You can book through seaportlanding.com or tributesportsfishing.com. But if you're calling to take advantage of this military discount, make sure you call in and let them know. Book your spot and then bring your buddy. I mean, it's basically saving $240. So it's not the worst deal ever.
Yep, that's awesome, buddy.
That's an awesome deal.
A great job, Mike. Appreciate the stories. Appreciate the fun. And a great job. Buy a ticket and get to pick a military person with you at half price. Great job, buddy. Appreciate it very much.
All right, man.
Continue to just keep getting them.
I'm going to listen to Brian's stories. They're always good ones.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Appreciate the call very much.
I know. Brian has so many good stories. And can't wait to hear them myself. We're going to be right back. You're listening to Southern California Sport Fishing Voice. When we come back, we've got fish reports. We're going to be taking your calls, texting. more when we return on the Let's Talk Cook About the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Anyone that's been to the East Cape knows Smokey's Curing Company Cantina, the best food and drink in Los Barriles, and a fun place to hang out and watch your favorite sporting event. If you're lucky, you probably had Smokey's process your fish to take home. Their quality and service is top-notch. You'll see me at Smokey's Cantina hanging out with the owner, Chris, and my buddies when fishing in the East Cape. And we always send our fish to be processed at Smokey's, too. Now Chris has added one of the finest boats in the East Cape available for you to charter for a day or more of fishing, Vaquera. It's an immaculate 35 Cabo with a Seakeeper and Captain Diego Romero, one of Baja's best. If you're looking for a great charter boat when fishing at Palmas, Playa, or other resorts, Vaquera, booked at BajaSmokies.com, should be your choice. So, when you're headed to the East Cape, be sure to stop by Smokey's Curing Company Cantina. Send your fish to be processed there and fish aboard the 35 Cabo Vaquera. Check BajaSmokies.com for more details.
All of us at the American Angler family want to express appreciation to our regular passengers that fish with us year after year and to the new anglers that came out this last season. We realize how precious your vacation time is, and we are truly grateful that you have chosen to spend this time with us. It's important that your experience is memorable, from the moment you call the office to the time you step off the boat. Hi, I'm Lori. Call me at the office, 619-223-5414, or check us out at AmericanAnglerSportFishing.com. Come fishing with the American Angler family and make a memory.
If it was possible to improve near perfection in a lever-drag saltwater reel, Shimano is the company that can do it. Introducing the all-new Talica 12A and 16A two-speed lever-drag reel. These new Talica reels raise the bar of Shimano's flagship reel again with ultra-smooth reeling and powerful drag performance to conquer long battles with trophy game fish. The addition of Shimano's innovative Infinity Drive technology leverages a new drag design to increase drag force and produce up to 30% lighter rotation during tough battles. The new generation of Talica now features X-Protect technology to boast high-level water resistance in vital areas. These new Shimano reels feature a Hagani body made of highly rigid aluminum to reduce the reel's overall weight. The palming side plate is an additional 6% smaller than the previous generation. Push the limit. Shimano's all-new Talica 12A and 16A reel, available at your local Shimano dealer.
This is Bob Hoos at Costa Sunglasses. Visual signs are a critical part of my fishing program, from bay bass to bluefin. I wear Costas to see what's out there. Costas are built with advanced polarization technology with our 580 lens, designed to cut through the sun's glare while providing enhanced color to see more fish. Costa was founded by a group of anglers wanting a high-performance lens for every fishing application. Costa has a West Coast-style frame and lens for your adventures. CostaSunglasses.com.
Inside information is everything when it comes to catching fish in Southern California. You need a code group to connect with what's happening on the water. FishDope.com is your code group. Inside information available at your fingertips 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. FishDope.com really does help you catch more fish and burn less fuel. FishDope.com is the only fish finding service with a spotter plane, along with a crew of top anglers on the water almost every day that report actual locations and catches. They become your code group. You get daily catch reports from Point Conception to San Quintin, 365 days a year. FishDope.com has online planning tools, temperature and chlorophyll charts, hot bite icons, and more. Take it from me, if you don't have FishDope.com, you're not part of the in-the-know crowd. Membership is affordable and good for an entire year. Plus, use the special code and save $30 on a new FishDope.com membership. Check it out today. FishDope.com. Catch more fish, burn less fuel.